and entertaining exploration of astrology and positive thinking. Discover how astrology can improve and lighten your life with a new perspective.
We were born before the wind.
Call Maya White at Sue Hines now.
248-545-SOUL.
CBS Radio's The Sky.
Believe.
Yeah, the Bonnie boat was one. As we sail.
Hello and welcome to Bright Star Cafe. This is Sue Hines and I'm here on this lovely sunny Friday afternoon with Maya White. How are you doing, Maya?
I'm doing good, Sue. How are you today?
Oh, I've had better days, but we're plodding through.
Yeah, well, the weather's helping. Finally, we've gotten some nice, beautiful, amazing California weather here. So.
Yes, and we have a wonderful guest that we'll be introducing a little bit later, Barry Selby, who is the passion consultant. And so it's a man's perspective on love and romance. So we will get around to that. But first, as usual, what about the oracle cards? Did you pull a card today, Maya?
I have pulled an oracle card for today, and the card that I got was house number 11.
The house of groups and friendships.
Yeah. The 11th house in astrology is a house of groups, friendships, and I also look at it in terms of longevity, long-held plans and dreams, things that you are going to really focus on and work on over a long period of time, and really even a house of old age. I always tell people if they have a lot of planets in the 11th house that they are likely to have a long, long life.
Yeah, and I've also found that a sun in the 11th house means that you're the kind of person that gets called on. So in a group situation or in class, you're the one that the teacher's always pointing at if you have sun or lots of planets in the 11th house.
Absolutely. And also it's the perks of the of your tribe. So it's all these little bennies that you might get from the people you know. So free concert tickets, lots of nice meals.
I didn't know that. Awesome. Well, I think I should go and get me some planets in my 11th house. Don't know quite how to do that, but I'll try. I pulled two cards today. I pulled house number 3 and Jupiter. So house number 3 is about relationships as well. It's about learning and experiences and interactions on a daily basis with people in your environment. Not necessarily friendships, but acquaintances, those light relationships. But it's also the house of siblings. And Jupiter, of course, is bigger, brighter, more. And so I'm going to have bigger, brighter, more sibling relationships and friendships at home.
Well, yeah, and I think it maybe it's also, I think of the third house as it's really the house of communication, you know, speaking, talking, listening, learning. I describe it as a house of email.
Yeah, it's the house of email and it's the house of teaching. So it's not so much mentoring, that higher sort of take it all in thing. It's like learn this, the house of learning.
Yes, actually, you know, my brother has his has quite a few planets in the third house, and it was very odd because at one point he told me that in his teenage years he took it upon himself to start to memorize the phone book.
What kind of family do you come from? I have never heard of anybody wanting to do that.
No, that's
you can say Abram, Abram, Abram how many times?
It's very third house activity.
Yeah, that's a bit crazy. That's a bit crazy.
So,
all right, well, horoscopes.
I bet we have some good horoscopes this week.
Yeah, I hope so. I certainly need a perk up. So I'm going to share some horoscopes. We'll start with Aries. Your work will begin to pay off this week as you share your expertise with others and you have them really get it. So this energizes you personally and allows you to step into a newly designed role with ease. So moving forward, Aries. Taurus, this week finds you transitioning from the strategic phase into one where you claim your authority and you begin to recognize the influence that you have. You may also find yourself withdrawing and restructuring in how you handle one particularly important relationship. Gemini, your attention is moving from how to make it possible to do something important to actually developing the plans that will take you there. It's hard work, but the payoff will be huge in terms of the effect that you have on others. Cancer, that's me. Now that you have figured out the relationship and what you want it to look like, it's time to turn your attention to gathering what you need to make it happen. Diversions and amusements will quickly turn into opportunities to show your value. So I'm looking forward to that. Leo, your interest this week is in the new and important relationship that is developing in your life. Even if it's been around for a while, you're able to communicate your needs and desires in a way that could radically change it for the better. Virgo, you're still in enjoyment mode, and that enables you to present yourself in a new and very appealing way. Others will respond with offers of help and support, so leverage this time to make real headway. Libra, you're feeling strong and well-prepared, and that means you have space in your life to look for a little entertainment and to fill the gap with meaningful relationships. People are likely to find you charming and different in an endearing way. Are you ready, Maya?
Listening.
Scorpios like Maya, you are looking forward to this period of quiet that is ahead. The frenetic pace is slowing, and you should find the opportunity to kick back, turn off your phone, and relax. The busy period has built your discipline muscle, so you can afford a little relaxation. How's that sound?
I think that sounds fabulous, Sue. Can I do that next week also?
Well, it's all for the week ahead, so yeah, kick back this week. Sagittarius, you're more or less done with the gathering of resources, and so you're now heading into the implementation phase. This week finds you getting ready to get the ball rolling on projects, and, you know, the lucky thing for you is you will have the support of those closest to you with what you're undertaking this week. Capricorn, the period of self-development is winding down, and your attention is shifting to how are you going to keep this supported and well-fed. So be on the lookout Be on the lookout for creative ways to maintain the momentum that you have been building. For Aquarius, congratulations. The slow phase that you've been in for some time is finally drawing to a close, and you've found out some new things about yourself and about your priorities. Now it's time to make personal changes. So get busy. Pisces, you have been through quite a demanding time and are now moving into that lovely phase of recovery and realignment. Be kind to yourself and recognize when it's time to stop and just be. What is important will not go away. It will wait for you. So that's all the horoscopes for the week. And if you missed yours, you can get it at my website. That's www.aspectsgalore.com. And Maya, are you going to tell us a little bit about what's happening in the world?
Well, this has been quite an interesting week, and in fact, quite an interesting, I would say, 24 hours.
Yes.
we've been talking really all along here about kind of that there are some major events going on in the planets, with the outer planets, Uranus and Pluto. And recently, yesterday, in fact, the planet Pluto was joined by Venus in the sky. And this was at a what I would call a very critical degree. It was 8 degrees of Capricorn. And the eighth degree of the Earth signs was was activated early in 2012 by what I would call a grand trine. And so I've not been surprised to hear that many, many people are having a response to this Pluto and Venus joining. And if you think of Pluto as irrevocable endings and Venus as something that your heart cares about, I think a lot of people have had to really encounter some of the realities of that situation. And what I would say that if this has happened to you on a personal level is that, as always, Pluto does bring a new beginning. And sometimes Pluto being the ruler of the eighth house, I like to describe the eighth house as it's the house of emotional currency and even the days of your life. So if you think of the days of your life as each one, is equal to $100, how do you spend that day and to make the most value of it? And sometimes if the price that you've had to pay is very dear in currency, then I would suggest that with the concept of life moves on and in the spiral of evolution, that there will be something equally beautiful and wonderful to come.
Oh, thank you. What a lovely way to end. Very nice. Very nice. And being one of those affected by this lovely Pluto-Venus conjunction in the sky, I suppose we're being a bit mysterious, so I'll just let people know. I lost my dog last night. My dog died. And so it's all a little bit wobbly and a little bit uneven, but like I say, we'll carry on. So it's absolutely Pluto-Venus things attacking me. And
Well, it's, Sue, it's a good example of astrology in action, because this has been revealing, I think, for both of us. Just so the listeners know, Sue sent me a text yesterday.
Yes.
Saying, what's going to happen? Pluto conjunct Venus, oppose my sun. And I spent the day thinking, well, what could happen? Mm-hmm. What could possibly happen? And yeah, in honor.
Very unexpected. Yes.
Totally unexpected. It was a death. It was something, a death of something that you loved, the Venus. And again, just, my encouragement is that, again, going back to this price paid in the eighth house, that there will be, I think, something beautiful. And I would remind you that you also told me that you found your calling.
Yeah. I got myself all energized the day before in some very exciting work that I've been doing. So, yeah, it's a beginning and an end at the same time. Yeah. Oh, Pluto, exactly. That's what endings are all about. They're all about new beginnings.
Absolutely. And it's that currency.
Yes, exactly.
So, anyway, we love Billy, and we have, speaking of Venus, we have an exciting guest today, right, Sue?
Oh, yes, yes. We're going to be talking a little bit later with Barry Selby, and Barry is the passion consultant. His mission is helping you have your most amazing and rewarding romance and relationship. How's that? A guy who's headed in the right direction.
Hey, now that's eighth house too, right? The inner scoop.
Yes, the inner scoop. His clients discover how juicy, rewarding, and fulfilling relationships really can be, with heart, insight, wisdom, and, yes, passion. He facilitates relationships.
Hi, Sue seems, I think we're having a little bit of problem with her Skype here. So anyway, yeah, talking more about Barry, we are really looking forward to speaking with Barry. Barry was born and raised in England. He moved to the U.S. in 1981, and after living in Europe for a few years, he came to the U.S. Along the way, Barry admits that he has had his share of dysfunctional relationships, failed romances, and broken hearts. And he recognized key lessons about what fundamentally does and does not work in relationship and romance. This birthed his true calling and mission. Barry has a master's degree in spiritual psychology and is also a professional spiritual counselor.
I think I'm back.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
We can hear you now. Good. Okay.
I don't know what happened there.
That's okay. We're coming up on time for our first break, and we are very, very excited to speak with Barry when we come back. In the meantime, you are listening to New Sky Radio, powered by CBS. I'm Maya White. We'll be back in a moment.
Every once in a while, someone comes into your life that makes you say, wow. This is Shea Parker, founder of Best American Psychics and Best American Healers. I'd like to personally recommend psychic medium Gail Trauco to you. Because, folks, after one psychic reading with her, you will be saying, wow. Certified by international psychic medium and television star Lisa Williams, Gail Trauco has earned her spot on my website, Best American Psychics. She's been tested twice for accuracy, ethics, professionalism, and more. Gail is the go-to girl if you wish to connect to loved ones that have passed over. Visit GailTrauco.com and book your reading. That's Gail, TRAUCO.com.
Shining happy people holding, shining.
Radio's The Sky.
The Sky.
How magnificently we will fold into the misting.
Back to Maya White and Sue Hines, live from the Bright Star Cafe. Call now.
248-545-7685.
Hello, and welcome back to the Bright Star Cafe. Sue Hines and I are here every Friday afternoon to help you discover how astrology can improve and light up your life with a new perspective. So we invite you to touch the sky every Friday at 4 p.m. Eastern. We have a guest today, Barry Selby. Barry, are you on the line?
I am indeed.
How are you today?
I'm doing very well.
Great. Thank you for joining us. So, Barry, the love coach.
Indeed.
Yes. And it's so rare to have a man who is in a position like that. So we're very excited to have you on the show and welcome.
Actually, I hope I can deliver what you like.
Well, actually, even better than a love coach, Barry is the passion consultant, which is just right. And Barry's website is thepassionconsultant.com. So we invite any of our listeners to learn a little more about Barry at thepassionconsultant.com. And I was introducing Barry earlier and just wanted to conclude, his mission is helping you have the most amazing and rewarding romance and relationship. So, Barry, what is the secret?
The secret?
The secret. So men and women, are they attracted differently? And if so, how? What is the difference between the way men and women respond to an attraction?
Well, this is going to make it hopefully clearer, but also may upset some people, so I'll be very clear how I'm explaining this. Yes, we are very different, both in who we are, but also how we attract each other and what attracts us to each other. And the way I used to look at it was that men were attracted visually, women were attracted on a feeling level. And the truth is, that's what happens. However, the way the society portrays it is that men are attracted because women have, you know, have had a boob job or have their butt lifted or something like that. But the truth is, what attracts men to women is the light they shine, how brightly they shine their light through how they present themselves, which, yes, includes their physical being, but also their makeup, their jewelry, their clothing, their way of carrying themselves, their movement. All of these things add to their attractiveness. And so when a man sees a woman, she may look like a pinup model, but if she moves, and I say this bluntly, but if she doesn't move with the grace that we hope she would, it may not be as attractive as we first thought. So it isn't just about the look. It's about how a woman presents her energy in the way she presents visually who she is. And on the other side, for men, what women really look for in a man is, to be simple, it's how a man they can trust. But it's not just trusting what they do. It's trusting his solidity and his strength and his truth and his beingness. If his consciousness is solid and reliable and trustworthy, that's more attractive than a man who may look like a glamour model out of a fashion magazine, but feel shifty. So, generally speaking, you know what I mean?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I'm thinking, okay, are there any like that?
More and more. There are showing up, yes.
Whoa. Yeah. I think you've hit the nail on the head. That sounds as if it's exactly right. It certainly resonates with me that a woman is looking for that solidity. Does this come from our ancestry? That we need someone who's going to stick around and protect us?
I would say yes. I don't have data to back that up, but it certainly feels aligned. There's something about, and this is from my teachings I've studied with, but the truth is we are like the yin and the yang, the two halves of the whole, but I don't mean that in relationship. I mean in terms of the context, light and dark, or black and white. Mm-hmm. So it's always been that way, that the masculine's been stillness, the feminine's been movement. In fact, everything that moves on the planet is feminine. It's the energy of movement is a feminine energy. The energy of stillness is a masculine energy, being present, being almost empty. So in some ways, it's been an eternal way of being. But in modern times, it's in the way we present ourselves to each other.
Oh, I've never seen it like that before.
That's beautifully insightful. So, Barry, I have to ask you, what is one of the biggest mistakes that people make when falling in love?
Well, that key word, falling in love, that's the challenge too, because we have this fairy tale belief that that person who we fall in love with will save us, will make us feel much better, and will fill in all the gaps in our lives that aren't working. And that's a tall order for anybody to step into. So it's not the best way to be in a relationship, because for one, you're always looking for someone else to make you feel better, which is very codependent. But also, you're not taking care of yourself to the best you can.
Well, yeah, and this whole, even the word falling in love, right? You know, falling is, to me, giving up really too much power and kind of looking for the fairy tale to take over.
Exactly.
So how do people avoid or get over the mistake of falling in love?
Well, the trick, if it's called a trick, is research looking in the mirror. And it's the sense of how do we take care of ourselves, both how do we become better at being who we are in terms of, you know, our physical, mental, emotional being, but also how we nurture and heal any pain or any gaps we have in our own heart. Because for many of us, we've usually had at least one, maybe two relationships in our lives. Some people have had dozens. And along the way, we may have been hurt or damaged in some way by that experience. So if we don't take action and take just healing to those parts that hurt, that will create a gap for us. So then by putting loving in that place and being proactive to be more fully ourselves, we can attract from a much more abundant place.
So the image I'm getting in my mind is not expecting a relationship to fill you up, but to add to your life.
Exactly. Because I talk about this as well, because relationships used to be called 50-50, because that was the way of negotiating back in the 80s. And truthfully, relationships are 100-100. We bring 100% of ourselves in, and a partner does, which is a much bigger relationship and much more fulfilling, because we are adding to ourselves, not replacing anything in ourselves.
Wow, that's a big insight, I think. are there other big mistakes that you know are very, very common?
Well, this ties slightly into the previous one, but it's one of the things I've noticed a lot, and it was one of mine for a while, is we have this gift called the subconscious, and it's really the driving force, and it's almost like the driver of the car we're in. Like, we may have an intention to go left, but our subconscious may be going straight on because that's what we programmed ourselves to feel. Now, that sounds very esoteric, but the truth is that's where we store our memories, and we store what we think is right. So we tend to archive in our memories the way we were raised as a family, the way our parents had a relationship. And even though it may not be what they said, but it's how they acted, becomes the model we then embed in our subconscious as the way a relationship should be. And then because of that, we will go out into life and attract partners, not intentionally, because we're not looking that way, but subconsciously, we attract partners who will repeat the patterns we grew up with.
And Barry, do you have a favorite technique for accessing the subconscious?
Well, when I work with clients, it's usually it's taking them back to a younger stage where they remember their parents' relationship. And it's almost like a revealing process. So I don't have a set technique. It's more about how I work with clients to step back into the past and to, first of all, go back and see the common threads. For example, I can use my own life, since I've had more than in my own fair share, it seems. The last three relationships that ended badly were because I had met a partner who was more in her masculine than I was. I love being around strong women, and I found myself drawn to these women in a row over a period of years, but the same result happened each time because they were so strong, I gave up my own masculine leadership for theirs and became deferential. And it ended badly because they were looking for men to take charge and really take care of them. I just couldn't do it at that place. It was actually the piece that woke me up. And so it's really looking back and seeing those threads, and it was my rearview mirror, as it were, you know, 20/20 hindsight, seeing, oh, hang on a second, I've done that before and again. I need to fix that. And that leads you to looking back in the history.
Wow.
And how do you do the fix?
Well, the first of all is go back to that point and in broad strokes, it's really about revealing what's been going on as an automatic pilot. When we see what it is that we've been doing, it's kind of like, I've been doing that. So then we start rebuilding a different automatic program. With working with forgiveness and emotional freedom, I help my clients really unearth what doesn't work and put in place an intentional, conscious program of what they want to attract. And that includes also moving into the future with a different vision and simple things like vision boards to guided processes that take them into the future that really anchor in what they're really looking for this time.
That sounds wonderful. We're coming up time for our next break. So when we come back, we're going to be talking more with Barry Selby, the Passion Consultant, and talk about dating in the modern world with texting and all sorts of other things. This is Sue Hines. I'm here with Maya White, and you're listening to New Sky Radio, powered by CBS. We'll be back in a moment.
Help, I need somebody. Help, not just anybody. Help, you know I need someone.
Life's a game. Win. Call and get advice from today's top coaches that are here to help you run a business, offer legal advice, enrich your relationships, or guide you on the right career path. Our coaches are expert professionals in their field to help you win the game of life. Listen to Coach Me Radio, Monday through Friday at 5 p.m.
Grace on the water, lips like sugar, lips like sugar. Just when you think you've caught her, she glides across the water. She calls for you tonight to share this new life.
Sue Hines, live from the Bright Star Cafe. Call now.
248-545-7685.
Hello, and welcome back to the Bright Star Cafe. I'm Maya White here with Sue Hines. We are here every Friday afternoon at 4 p.m. Eastern, offering a lively and entertaining exploration of astrology and positive living. And today we have an amazing positive living guest on today, Barry Selby. Barry is known as the Passion Consultant. His website is thepassionconsultant.com. And Barry has a lot of good insight and tips on relationships. And during the break, we were talking about a perennial issue for many people, and it is, why do men cheat? So, Barry, I was quite interested in your insight on this topic.
Well, I'll lay it out in a way that hopefully works. Now, as I explain this, bear in mind I'm speaking generalities, so I'm not saying all men, all women. This is about the general tendency, so that way people don't shoot me down for what I'm saying. But I became very aware working with a client this week let me back up a second. We men are traditionally, in our ancestry, we're the hunters. We were the ones that go out and would fetch the animal and bring it back to the cave or bring it back to the field to the family. And it was that quest that's always driven us. And when I work with men, a lot of what I work with is about we must be clear about where we're going, because that's kind of our natural gift, is we have a direction, we want to go somewhere. And having a clarity and a vision is important. So, when we were, I won't say back in the end of the times, but back in the olden days, our job, we were always on the quest for the next thing. So we'd hunt, we'd capture, we'd go on the next target, hunt the next target, capture, and et cetera, et cetera. So when that moves into relationship, if we do the relationship as a primary focus, it's the same mechanic, unfortunately, working subconsciously in our DNA. So we attract the next partner, and then if we don't do things differently, we will grow bored and look for the next one and keep going with the next one, the next one, the next one. Now, this is normal in that behavior, except for some caveats that I want to present. First of all, for men, and this is a thing that I've learned myself the hard way, that if I didn't have clarity about what I was about in the world, my mission, my purpose, my calling, my whatever that is driving me, then my relationships would suffer and I would suffer. And the way I've explained it for women is that when a man has direction and purpose in life, he has a very strong spine as well as an open heart. And for many women, that's very attractive. And the truth is that we aren't always supported in really living our true nature, our true calling, our vision, our purpose. But if we do have that in place, that becomes our thing that we align our target to. So again, that cycle of going for the goal, capturing it, going for the next goal, can be laid out in our business or in our vocation or our purpose, and then our relationship can be maintained in a healthy way. The second part, and we can explain more about it as we go along, the second part that also is that when we understand that a relationship is, ideally it is, an unfolding and an eternal journey with a partner, then the next goal is the next level of relationship with that partner, not changing partners, but changing our relationship in deeper and deeper levels. So the intimacy expands, the spiritual connection grows, the way we are emotionally understanding and open and vulnerable can be our next goal. So that a lifetime partnership is absolutely available if we both choose into that level of evolution. The challenge for us as men, most men, is we do not live well in stagnation. It's like we need to grow. And what happens is if we do not add to the relationship, and if our partner doesn't either, there can be a tendency to search elsewhere for it, which is the tendency to cheat, as it were. Now, In respectful ways, a man would realize or a relationship would end because there was no loving left, and then he would move on to the next relationship he moves to go into. But for some, they don't do it that cleanly, and that's where the cheating happens.
That's a really very heartfelt and insightful commentary, Barry. That's so interesting. Thank you. I then also have to move on to why do you think women will cheat, and is it the same dynamic?
It's actually the other side of the coin. For me, again, in the relationships I was in, three of them, I didn't live my true calling. I was not about my work, and I was always basically at the service of my partner. And whatever you want, honey, however you want to do things, I am here, whatever you need, which initially is wonderful. But after a while, they're climbing the walls because they want a man to take charge and get things done. Now, this, again, is a normal paradigm relationship, masculine-feminine. So women, especially when they're empowered and have been in the business world particularly, they've taken a lot of masculine traits. So the reverse situation can happen where they're with a partner a man who is not as strong in the masculine as they are, and if he doesn't step up and improve the way he is in a relationship, she may look elsewhere and look for another relationship partner, because, again, it's the masculine consciousness that's driving this. And men and women carry both masculine and feminine. But generally speaking, men are more masculine than feminine, and women are more feminine than masculine. But in the business world, both genders tend to find themselves both in the masculine more often, because that's the way the corporate structure and the corporate world works. So they can be achieving from that side.
Is this just my imagination, or do you feel that I'm going to term it as the divine masculine, that men have kind of lost touch with their masculine side?
Yes, to be blunt. It's something
it's a
I
blunt
realized.
Question.
Yes, yeah. The answer is very simple. The answer is yes. As a general rule, we've been, unfortunately, we started back in, I mean, this is a whole paradigm explained, the three stages of relationship that I understand. Back in the, after the war in the 50s, when it was kind of the all-in-the-family paradigm for Archie Bunker and Edith Bunker, there was this the macho man and the meek housewife, which was the model for many, many decades back then. And we evolved beyond that. What happened was women got empowered with the feminist movement, or where women's lib. And so a lot of women at that time chose to go into business, which is where this framework came from. And they would cut their hair, take off their makeup, put on suits, take off their jewelry, and go to work. I mean, it was such a pendulum swing from feminine or womanly into a masculine way of being for women that created this new framework. A lot of men at that time, back in the 60s and 70s, were in some ways dropping out of society. They're growing their hair long, doing flowery shirts, smoking weed, and being very mellow. And the truth is, we reversed roles.
We remember that.
Yes. The younger generation may not, but this is
there are videos online. Yeah. You can see them in their caftans.
Right, but what happened out of that was we became eventually autonomous and we became independent. So originally, back in the Archie Bunker model, or in the family, that was codependence.
Yeah.
We evolved in the 70s and 80s into the independent relationship, where we'd negotiate relationship and we have independent, separate bank accounts, separate careers, which is still happening. And the truth is, we have yet a third stage, which is the divine masculine, divine feminine, which is still being, I won't say birthed, but it's being recognized now, and more people are realizing they want that more in their lives. The challenge is that society as a whole doesn't necessarily support that the way it is now. It's part of the change that's already unfolding, it seems. There's more calling for us to step into a much more authentic, more aligned way of being for both the men and for women.
That's an amazing perspective that takes us really deeply into our 21st century here, and really sets us up in a paradigm that means that our responsibility going forward is not going to be built on what we remember from the past. So it takes us back to where we were talking about in the beginning, where you were saying that people are looking for and tend to drift into or subconsciously seek relationships that mimic their parents' relationships. Mm-hmm. And though at the same time today, that paradigm doesn't really work for many people, the basic fundamental structure behind those relationships. And so there's probably a lot of confusion out there.
So I would love to know, how do you feel women mess up their chances of romance?
Now, before I get, this is going to be a dangerous territory to walk into, so I'll be careful how I say this. Part of it is, there's several pieces to this one, so let me throw a few out. One is, as I mentioned, women have been trained by society to be masculine. And most of my female clients have been through this, where they've been in the business world and doing their own business, and they've been very by the book, and they've basically been in a very masculine mindset, and they haven't realized they're still carrying that into their dating life. And so it becomes very combative with men who are attempting to be in their masculine, but frankly, women are more powerful at times and will be beaten out for the role, which makes for a very clumsy relationship. And it becomes, for most women, and I've seen this quite a few times with clients, where they want to have this incredibly deep, romantic, loving relationship, but it becomes very sexual only because they're both driven by their masculine mindset, which is to connect and then leave, connect and then leave. And so they're not being fulfilled. The other part of that is when women are in their feminine and they're in their grace and their flow and their dance, men, to be blunt, are fairly simple creatures. And when we are seeking a female to be in a relationship with, it would be nice if we had indication we were on the right track. And the way I say it is that women are together, they can communicate a whole vocabulary. I mean, they could share a whole volume of a book in one eyebrow lift that the other person knows exactly, but the man would have no clue she even raised her eyebrow. The subtleties. I mean, it's like how we talk about colors. And when women talk about the color red, for men there's like red and pink. For women there's 17 shades of red. And so it's that difference in subtlety that women don't realize they have over men. And so when a man is courting a woman, it's nice if she can give him a clue that he understands. Because she may be giving him all sorts of signs, but she doesn't realize he doesn't understand them.
And what are the signs that the man understands?
Oh, Maya, we're up to time for our break. We're going to have to hold that question. What are the signs? Remember that, Barry. When we come back from our break, maybe Barry can fill us in on some of those signs that we need to be looking out for. This is Sue Hines here with Maya White and our very interesting guest, Barry Selby, the Passion Consultant. You're listening to New Sky Radio, powered by CBS. We'll be back in a moment.
This is where the mind meets the soul. CBS Radio's The New Sky. NewSkyRadio.com.
CBS Radio's The Sky.
The Sky.
How magnificently we will fold into the best thing.
Back to Maya White and Sue Hines, live from the Bright Star Cafe. Call now.
248-545-7685.
Hi, Good afternoon and welcome back to Bright Star Cafe. This is Sue Hines. I'm here with Maya White and our very interesting guest, the passion consultant, Mr. Barry Selby. And before the break, we were talking about what are the signs, and we'll come back to that. Before we tackle that subject, Barry has a gift for our listeners. So I wondered if you could tell us a little bit about that, Barry.
Sure. Well, I have a book out first, which I'll just mention, which is 50 Ways to Love Your Lover, which is one of my – that was my passion to explore and to create that. But the truth is a lot of my clients want something they can work with, and like a workbook. So they may not have time to sit down for a coaching session, but they like something that's hands-on. So what I'm creating, and it's a process in creation right now, so this is a pre-launch, is I'm creating two specific workbooks, one for singles and one for couples. And the singles book is a I'm calling it relationship preparation workbook, because I don't believe I can guarantee you can get what you want. I know you will, but I can't promise and guarantee that. But this workbook will take you through some key steps to help you make the room for creating the relationship you really want. The other workbook is for couples. And right now the working title is the Relationship Transformation Workbook, because it's truly about how do you transform your relationship to a deeper level of loving, of connection, of intimacy, and grow what you really want together. And because they are different subject matters, I've created two workbooks that are each available on my website. And if they go to thepassionconsultant.com/cafe, that's a page that's not public, it's just for your listeners. They can find the offer there. It's a discounted price. They can purchase either one, whichever one they want, and it will ship to them in about a week. It's going to be up and running.
Okay, great. Thank you. So that's thepassionconsultant.com/cafe.
Yes.
So, good. All right. Now, Maya, you are hot to ask your question here on the signs.
Oh, so what were we asking about? How do you keep the romance going?
Well, we were talking originally. I think the question was about how women can let men know they're interested.
Right.
Okay.
We'll start with that one first, then we'll go back to the other one. To keep you on track. This, as I said before, is that women are more subtle than men are, to be really clear, and have much more range of connection and communication. So sometimes it's the simple action, and this is one of my favorite things to say, is that if a man is attracted to you and you like him and he's on the right track, it's nice to encourage him that he's on the right track. So simply a touch on the arm, touch on the knee, because a look in the eyes is great. But for a lot of men, a physical connection is what ignites their fire and also shows them to keep going. And you have to remember that men like simple encouragement. It works so beautifully. Don't be afraid to express that. It may seem so obvious and gross to you to do, women, but the truth is that for men, it's so reassuring. Yeah, men have been so rejected so many times, at least most of the men I know have been, including myself, that to be given a invitation that is respectful, not saying come and take everything, it's like be respectful and say yes, keep going, is very healthy and very reassuring for us men.
That's very helpful. I remember learning that when you stick men and women in an MRI and you pop faces and measure the brain responses to facial expressions, that women are far more able to get what is the expression being shown to them than men. And it's something startling.
Yes.
In terms of the difference. So that makes a lot of sense. So actually using a physical manifestation, not just an expression, makes a lot of sense.
Absolutely.
And vice versa?
You're asking this a question or as a statement?
Yeah, vice versa.
Yes.
Yeah.
So then, okay, then let's say that there has been an initial contact. How does one keep the romance going?
This was a juicy question. The biggest thing for us to realize, again, as I mentioned earlier about the conversation of cheating, that men are always on the quest for the next thing. So for men, either themselves or with their partner's help, it's always good to have a next goal in mind. So it's the next level of intimacy, the next level of connection. It may be to explore and research how to be more romantic. In my book, in chapter 10, I remember the chapter, the chapter was about getting creative in your ideas of romance. That if you are stuck for ideas, go online and do a web search for romance and how to. You'll find thousands of ideas of things you can do, some which cost money, a lot of them don't, that can help you deepen and connect and make romance just an ongoing, daily, and creative process. And in fact, mm-hmm. I created a handout with my book. People can get that if they're even too lazy to do a web search.
And I think lazy and also a little embarrassed. I think that we're all embarrassed when relationships don't work out. Mm-hmm. And somewhere there's some shame in that takes some getting through.
Right. And that's definitely work that I recommend we do, because if we don't do that work, then it's part of our heart not available for loving. And it's one of those things of understanding that any emotions that we have hooked up in past relationships that didn't heal, didn't complete in a way that was workable for us, then that's part of our heart that's allocated somewhere else. So how can we be available fully for a new relationship unless we heal it? So I'm very adamant that it's vital that we do the work with ourselves, with a coach, with a counselor, with a therapist, to resolve the past pain in a way that brings peace back to our heart, and we can be fully ourselves again to attract what we want next.
And so that what we attract adds to our lives and doesn't just fill a gaping hole that has come about because we have not done that work.
Exactly, yes.
Right. Makes a lot of sense. We are coming up to the end of the show, sadly, because it's so interesting. Barry, thank you so much for joining us. This has been very interesting, and I'm sure our listeners are getting a lot of value out of what you have already told us. And I just want to remind them that they can go to thepassionconsultant.com/cafe. And Barry has a program that they can sign up for there that will help them in future relationships. So Barry, exactly. Thank you so much.
And a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
So this is Sue Hines, and here with Maya White and Barry Selby, and we are closing off our Friday afternoon program on the Bright Star Cafe. Thank you for being with us, and we will be with you next Friday as usual. Have a great weekend.